Thank you. This is the second time in about a month, 5-6 weeks, that I've had the privilege to come up here behind the pulpit and spend a few minutes sharing some things from God's Word. You might not be happy with me today when I'm done, because I'm not going to stand up here and give the latest, greatest revelation that a lot of people expect when somebody is a guest speaker and they come to town, so to speak. They want to hear the latest, greatest, best thing that they can hear from God. They didn't try to hear God themselves, but they expect that I would bring that or someone else would bring that. So what I'm going to bring today is what God gave me, which, frankly, is better than anything that I could imagine or I could think about on my own. But it is very simple. How many people, and if you would raise your hands, I would appreciate it, how many people today feel like they're in such a place of detail and such a place of complexity in the problems that they have that they're absolutely overwhelmed? How many people are in that place? Okay, that's the majority of people. I know that after practicing law for well over 30 years, I was sworn in 1977, the law has become more and more detailed. And I'm just talking about one field. I'm not talking about the medical field or the taxation field or the economic field or the political arena or any other of those arenas. I'm just talking about the one arena, and that's the legal system, is so complicated. How many know that in California every year about 1,000 new laws are passed in the state of California? I'm not talking about the other states. I'm talking about just the state that most of us here live and reside and work in, and that's the state of California. And I would give a simple explanation for why this happens is the legislature, which is a group of people that are picked by the voters to pass new laws, are trying to regulate the human heart. They're trying to come up with a way to regulate what's in our hearts and what happens in our behavior. And they don't seem to be able to do it very well because they keep passing more and more laws in an effort to change what's going on inside of us. And how many know that it doesn't matter how many laws you have in any given state or in the federal government, you're going to have a violation of those laws? How many people appreciate that? Because the more laws you have, the more violation you have. That's, by the way, not just a practical principle. It's a spiritual law that where there's a regulation or an ordinance or a statute or a law, there's going to be a violation of that regulation, statute, ordinance, or law. And so, as a matter of fact, God gave us the Ten Commandments that we're all aware of, and that isn't something that we could live with. That's not something we could live up to. So thank God he literally sent his son Jesus of Nazareth to live a sinless life, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, to be wrongfully arrested, falsely accused, beaten, scourged, crucified, died. And the best part is he was raised from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he listens to me this morning. What I wanted to talk about for a few minutes this morning is what I think is an answer to an age-old problem, and I know it's an answer for me, and I believe it's the only answer for any of you, and that's the concept of simplicity. We live in a very complex world, as I mentioned, and the more time goes by, the more complex it's become and the more complex it will become. So the good thing is that God has, from the very beginning, made things extremely simple. And if you want to turn to a scripture you're welcome to do this. You don't have to, but if you want to turn to a scripture, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, the 39th verse, says, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is there that, it is these that bear witness of me. And you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life." If you then go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse, you see the answer to the problem that Jesus has proposed. That is, you can spend all day reading the Bible. You can spend your entire life studying it. And you can still not come in contact with the author and the finisher of faith, and not come in contact with the author of that book, because you're unwilling, as he says in Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse, you're unwilling to come to me, he says. Jesus of Nazareth says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The Bible says that without faith, or without being persuaded of God's presence and God's goodness and God's holiness and God's existence, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In the book of Hebrews, God makes it very clear that those who come to Him, those who come to God, must believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him, or those who diligently seek Him. I'm having trouble with my notes falling all over the place up here, so forgive me, I'm a little distracted. But nonetheless, the point is that we often look for answers, and we search and we really seek, whether it's through spiritual disciplines, whether it's through books, whether it's through the internet, whether it's through research, we search and we really make an effort to find answers to problems that we simply cannot find the answer to. And we feel overwhelmed. And as I mentioned, the more time goes by, the more complicated life seems. And so what Jesus has done from the very beginning is He's made it clear that there is a way. He's not just the way, the truth, and the life, but there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it produces death. And so Jesus gives us a very, very simple way to find the answers and to know the answers to any problem that any of us are facing here today. And if there's anyone here that doesn't have something that they're facing, boy, see me afterwards, because I sure would like to talk to you. I think everybody I know, whether they're here or not, is struggling with something today and is looking for an answer in some area. And so my point is that we can look for the finest institution, we can look for the finest legal mind, the finest political mind, the finest doctor. We can go anywhere in the United States or in the world, and we can seek and search and try to find the answer. But ultimately, Jesus is the only one that has all the answers and knows specifically what we need. And yet most of us avoid Him even through our spiritual disciplines. Anyone here know what I'm talking about? You can, and I'm not suggesting that you don't or that I don't. We can fast, we can pray, we can spend time in the Word, we can cry out to God, we can talk to friends, we can go to Bible studies, we can get on the internet, we can do all these things. But if we're not spending time, literally, not figuratively, but literally with the Creator of the universe, then we're missing the entire point of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So what am I saying? I'm saying that life, as complicated as it seems, is really, really simple if you look at it from the perspective of the author and the finisher of your faith, and that's coming directly to Jesus of Nazareth and talking to him about your problem. Now, the reason I said I think a lot of people are going to be angry with me at when I finish here pretty quickly is because that's a revelation that the church has yet to grasp, that Jesus of Nazareth, who's listening to me right now, if you can imagine, who's listening, is anxious and willing to talk with everyone here, literally, not figuratively, literally. And yet, how many people here today have spent any time with him today or are going to spend any time with him? And I'm sorry to say, a lot of people don't. They don't spend 5 minutes a day talking to the creator of the universe who makes himself available 24 hours a day and will speak specifically and give us answers to problems that are so complicated that we couldn't find the answer if we had an entire lifetime to search in one area for one specific answer. But Jesus of Nazareth literally knows what we need and is willing anytime, 24 hours a day, to talk to us about the problem and to give us the solution. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And let me just go to that because that's an important scripture when it comes to understanding the concept of simplicity in our relationship with the Creator and with the Lord Jesus. In the 11th chapter, Second Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Paul said, when he was talking in the book, the letter to the Philippians, Paul said, and I'm going to sort of paraphrase, Paul said that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be conformed to his death. And Paul went so far as to say, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward." I don't know if there's anyone here today that has a problem forgetting what has dragged them down or what wants to drag them down over and over and over again, but most of us struggle with our past. And yet, the Lord Jesus makes it very clear, even through his servant, the Apostle Paul, that we can forget what lies behind, whether it happened 15 minutes ago, 15 days ago, 15 months ago, or 15 years ago. We can forget what lies behind, and we can press on if we'll simply go to the Creator of the universe and literally talk to Jesus. Now, you want to know, you want some evidence for that, that God will talk back. If you look at Book of James, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse. It says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Most people, I think, most believers, have a nagging sense that God's not really going to speak with them. They have this nagging concept that, yeah, he might talk to that man of God or that woman of God, but he's not really going to talk to me. And the enemy, of course, fosters that notion and fosters that lie by saying, well, look at what happened yesterday when you went to God. What did God do for you yesterday when you asked him for a solution to the problem? And the enemy, that is the world, the flesh, and the devil, will constantly remind us of our past, and will constantly remind us of what he will argue is God's unwillingness to talk to us and to address the problems and the issues that we put before him. But the reality is that that's never happened in my life, not once. When I've gotten serious with God and I've gone to God 100% of the time, not 50, not 80, not 90, 100% of the time, God will answer me. He probably won't answer me when I want him to. He probably won't answer me immediately, although he does sometime. He might not answer me for a week or two or three or four, but he will respond, because he's not like we are. He doesn't say, well, I'll pray for you. He actually does what he says he'll do. He says, draw near to me, and if I feel like it, I'll draw near to you. No, that's not what he says. He says, draw near to me, and maybe if I've got the time and I'm not too busy and the rest of these folks quit nagging me, I'll draw near to you. No, what he says is, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And that is the purity and the simplicity of the gospel. Now, I know a lot of people that think that they're spiritual giants when it comes to the Word of God, or when it comes to walking as a believer, or when it comes to overcoming this or overcoming that, or seeing the power of God or having encounters with God. They would quickly put themselves up there with the spiritual giants that most of us have read about and heard about. But when it comes to facing the problem themselves or the problems themselves, you won't find them taunting, you won't find them lauding themselves and lifting themselves up as if they are better than the rest of us. They're going to be doing the same thing that we do. They're going to be looking for answers until they get to the place where they say, I'm going to have to go to God. Now, they may do it out of desperation, and that's fine. God will take us any way he can get us, but he wants us to come to him and to talk with him. And that is the purity and the simplicity of knowing Jesus. On the day of judgment, when I stand before the Lord and the Lord asks me whether I delivered this message of purity and simplicity, I'm not going to argue that it's not the most articulate or the most eloquent presentation. It isn't. I'm not going to argue with the Lord that I couldn't have been better prepared, or I couldn't have given more scripture, or I couldn't have said it in a better way. But I am going to be able to say, Lord, I gave the word that you gave me, and that's that you're a person. I've been accused, I don't know if this has happened to anybody else here, but I've been accused of putting God on my own level, or putting God on our own level. And my response to that is, I'm not the one that did that. The Father did that when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, to become flesh and blood. He put Jesus on our level so that we could understand and have real communication and real contact with the living God. So God's the one that did that. I didn't do that. And my point is actually very simple. If we've got a problem that is really plaguing us today, whether it's a financial problem, a health problem, a legal problem, whatever it may be, I don't care how complicated it might seem. I don't care how many doctors you've been to. I don't care how many lawyers you've talked to. I really don't care how much research you've done. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible. I don't care how many times you've gone to God. I don't care what you think you've done that God didn't answer you, or he won't answer you, but he will. If you'll go to God, and I'm not talking about your idea of God or your concept of God, I'm talking about the reality of the living God who can hear everything I'm saying and can understand everything you're thinking, each one of you. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. If you go to him and you pour out your heart and you pour out the things that are plaguing you and the problems that are overwhelming you, the Lord Jesus has promised you in the Word that he will respond, and he will. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. I want to make one other point and then I'm going to be done. You might say, well, this is all well and good, but what's the point? Well, I alluded to this the last time I was up here speaking about a month ago, that we're here and we're talking about the person of Jesus of Nazareth that we know exists, and we've heard his voice, and some of us have walked with him for many years, and so we have a relationship. We can go to him, and we can be certain that he's going to respond, and he's going to talk to us. But most people that I know, the majority of people that I know, question his existence. I understand the book of Romans says that creation testifies to the existence of God. I understand that. But what you'll find is that the majority of people in the world today are on their way to hell, and most of them don't seem to care. I mean, they really don't. They don't seem to even have an awareness that things happen quickly in this world. And death is a reality. As I pointed out the last time I stood up here, in the book of Jude, the 22nd chapter, if you really want to get a sense of life and death, just turn to Jude, if you would, quickly here. There's one chapter in the book of Jude, and the 22nd verse says, "And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." When we walk out of here today, we don't know whether or not an hour from now or 2 hours from now we're going to be alive. But we know where we're going to spend our eternity, because we have spent time with the Lord and he's developed a relationship with us. And the Bible calls him, fortunately, not just the author, but the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. So we can be confident that if we go to him and we continue in the hope of heaven, that he's going to get us there. But what about the people that we know that don't want to have anything to do with God, that don't even want to talk about his existence? Those are the people that I'm concerned about. Those are the people that we better be concerned about, because things are happening quickly in this world. Everybody understands that we're in the last times. Everybody understands that. Even the unbeliever understands that. They don't know what it means. Frankly, none of us do either, because our last day might be today. That might be it. God might say, okay, let's go. You're out of here. But we're here and we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only one that can save people from, if you can imagine this, an eternal separation from an awesome God in a pit of destruction that is beyond your wildest or my wildest imagination. And yeah, the fire's real. It's real. If we had some sense of that, we would be more aware and more concerned about spending time with the Lord Jesus, so that we can share the gospel in the last times with people that have no or seemingly no interest in it. The Holy Spirit is opening hearts today. He's shedding light today. He's bringing the goodness of God today in ways that I don't think we've ever seen before, but we're going to see this great harvest that we keep hearing about. We're going to see it. And as the Lord's explained it to me, a lot of people are going to miss it. I'm talking about people in the church, because they won't spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who wants to talk to them about not just their problems, which he can fix in a flash, but the problems of people that are on their way to hell that he can't fix unless somebody is sent and somebody is willing to open their mouth and share the gospel and tell them about Jesus and take it seriously. The reality is we had better take it seriously for ourselves. We better not neglect the gospel of salvation. More importantly, we've got neighbors and friends and family and people that are strangers that we're never going to see again. We might be given one opportunity. Is anybody willing to tell them about Jesus? Now somebody's going to say, well, now you're talking about ding-donging people with Jesus. You know, when I played lawyer as a Christian for almost 28 years, it was rare that I presented the gospel and it was rejected. It was rare. I'm telling you the truth. 90-some% of the people that I talked with wanted to hear the gospel. A lot of them had never heard the gospel before. And so I am convinced that God put me there to share the gospel, not to play lawyer. He could find anybody to do that. But he put me there because of the way he saved me after 36 years of living like the devil. Of the way he saved me and made his presence and his reality, the reality of Jesus, known to me, he knew that I would be compelled to share the truth with people that came into my office. And so my point is, you're not in a different place. You're in the same place. Everyone here has opportunities to present the gospel. Every single person here. People think, well, it's the pastor's responsibility. It's, you know, it's the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher. It's somebody else's responsibility. No, it's not. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And if you don't take it seriously enough on the day of judgment, Jesus, or you may go to heaven, but believe me, Jesus is not going to be happy with you. And he's not a meek little lamb. He is coming back as a lion, and he is serious, and he means business. So we had better get serious about the great harvest, the final culmination of the ages. We had better get serious, and we'd better start sharing the gospel and sharing what we learn in those times of intimacy, even if it's 5 minutes a day, sharing the gospel with people that would otherwise seemingly reject it. I'll say this in concluding. There is nothing complicated about the gospel. There really isn't. I could get up here and I could tell you about encounters, or others could get up here and tell you about encounters that they've had with God, and testimonies are wonderful. I love it when the Lord, quote unquote, moves, or when the Lord does something. Those are wonderful things, and I appreciate everything that the Lord Jesus does for me and does for each one of you. I will say this as well. Those things are important, but they only become significant when they bring somebody from the outside in. They only become important when they bring somebody in darkness into the kingdom of light. When it brings God, the Holy Spirit, to a place where he transfers somebody in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's raising the dead. Now, I mean, we're literally going to see the dead raised, but I love it as much to see those who are unsaved come to the Savior. To me, that's just as much a miracle as somebody being raised from the dead. So I'll conclude with that the enemy is going to tell every one of us here how complicated life is, how bad it is, how big your problems are, how overwhelming what you're facing today is, whether it's cancer, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, or any other spirit of infirmity, whatever it may be. The enemy is going to try and convince you that because you've been to 15 or 20 doctors and you've tried this medicine and that medicine, and it's been 40 years of struggling with the same old spirit of infirmity, that God won't heal you today. And that's simply a lie. God will heal you any time you go to Him and you ask Him and you talk to Him about your problem. He will respond. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Now, if it's okay with my brother, I felt like the Lord wanted to spend some time this morning ministering, prophetically perhaps, but ministering to people who have a specific need or people that just want a deeper relationship. I often hear the complaint, well, I don't hear God the way you hear God. Well, I don't know how you think I hear God, but I hear God in a variety of ways. I asked that question of a man who I regarded to be a father in the Lord some years ago, and the way he explained it to me, I'll share with you. He said, Mike, it's like taking a lump of clay and putting it in your hands and pushing with your thumbs ever so slightly and making a slight indentation or impression in that clay. That's one of the ways the Lord speaks with me. It might be a still small voice. It might be an impression. He can speak audibly. He can do it any way He wants to. He can speak to anyone sitting here in a way He's never talked to anyone else in the universe before. How do I know that? Because He's infinite. He's God. He can do anything He wants to do. My point is He will communicate. He will answer. And so if there's somebody here today that is questioning whether or not they're hearing God or they want to hear God in a clearer way, the enemy's going to tell you that you're disqualified, you're unworthy, you're too good, you're too bad. He'll have some excuse. Jesus will never tell you that. The Bible says that Jesus said, "He who comes to me, or whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast away." There's nobody He's going to turn away. And that person that's here today, I'm not going to point you out, but the person that's here today that's sitting there and wondering whether or not they're saved, you're saved if you'll come and confess Jesus of Nazareth as the Lord of your life. And you know that He was raised from the dead. So those are the people that I want to pray with today, those people that want to hear God in a clearer way, those people that feel overwhelmed with a problem. Those are the people that I felt the Lord wanted to spend some time ministering to today. And that's all I have to say. Basically, that God is an awesome God, and in the simplicity of who He is, He's going to answer our prayers. So I'm going to turn this over to Brother Culberson.
You've heard the man of God speak. Let's all stand. Sister Culberson, you come. I'm sure that there's some of you here this morning that really needs what our brother Michael has said. I know that I've heard a lot this morning. I have heard a lot this morning. I heard a lot that he wasn't saying that he was bringing to my heart. I'm quite sure that you have too. I'm quite sure that you have problems that need to be touched. You have things that need to be in your life. And I want to say this. He said something about going to hell. There's people in this congregation this morning that's on your way to hell. You need to come and repent and be counseled by a man of God. Amen.